A Dean County judge on Friday shot down a challenge to Wisconsin's constitutional ban on gay marriage, but the battle may not be over. The man who brought the suit, UW Oshkosh instructor Bill McConkie, says he may appeal.
When you start singling out groups of people, drawing a circle around them and taking their rights away from them for no particular reason, it's offensive. You know, my gut instinct is to appeal. I never want to quit fighting.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, June the 3rd. And we'll talk this hour about the challenge to Wisconsin's constitutional amendment that defines marriage as being between a man and a woman and prohibits the recognition of civil unions with one of the chief advocates of the ban. And we'll talk about other moves in New York and California recently that change marriage rights for gay couples. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions as we go along. Our guest is Julaine Appling. She is CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us. Your reaction to the ruling that upholds Wisconsin's gay marriage ban?
Well, Judge Nace's ruling on Friday was very pleasing. It was a clear application of the law. This is one of those excellent examples of a judge applying the law, not imposing a social agenda. And we found Judge Nace to be very careful in his ruling, very careful in his analysis, and obviously had read the briefs and was prepared to rule. So we think this is just the natural outcome of a judge doing what judges are supposed to do, which is to rule according to the law and justice.
Yeah, the judge ruled that the two questions on the ballot question are two sides of the same coin, and you agree?
Well, yes, and you know, Assistant Attorney General Thomas Balistrieri, who represented A.G. Van Hollen, J.P. Van Hollen in this, used that term as well, and certainly we agree with that. During the course of the amendment effort, as we were getting this on the ballot and getting it voted on in November of 2006, we consistently said to the public that the amendment, while it had two sections, if you will, or two statements, that they were integrally related. The first one defines the word marriage, and the second one defines and protects the institution of marriage. If you don't have the second provision in that amendment, you essentially are undermining the first one, because somebody can then come in through legislative action or through judicial fiat and create look-alike marriages or marriage by another name that completely undermines the institution.
Yeah.
And the judge agreed that that is exactly what happened. In fact, he used an incredibly important statement in his ruling, which, by the way, ruling from the bench surprised, I think, a lot of people because, you know, they have the option to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the judge said that the single purpose of this was to preserve the unique and historic status of marriage in society. And that is exactly what marriage is. It is an institution that is unique in the way that it provides moms and dads for children, the way that it gives stability to society. And the judge aptly recognized that.
Now, the person who brought the suit, Bill McConkie, told our news department following the ruling that he wants to proceed with his challenge, though a definite decision has not been made yet. Does that worry you?
No. You know, these single-purpose challenges to amendments across the country have failed at every juncture. They have been tried in states such as Florida, Georgia. Florida's amendment is pending, by the way. They've been tried in states such as Massachusetts, Arizona, Louisiana, and it, notably, too, in Kentucky. And what makes Kentucky unique amongst those states is that Kentucky's language is exactly the same as ours. And they borrowed our wording and got it done before we did. But they had the single-purpose challenge there, and in every one of these states, the judges have said that the single purpose of this amendment or these amendments is to preserve marriage, to prevent, to define and preserve it, and that it is all linked to making a statement relative to that unique institution. And so I would think that, you know, certainly plaintiff has the right to do that. This is a great great country we live in for our appellate process and judicial system. They can do that, but I think it would be it will not change the outcome of the ruling. I think that, as we have seen in all these other jurisdictions and states, that the similar ruling would come down here in our state.
We're talking about a challenge to Wisconsin's ban on gay marriage and civil unions that was dismissed on Friday by a Dane County judge. Our guest supports the decision and was involved in getting the 2006 referendum on the ballot and approved by 60% of Wisconsin voters. We welcome your reaction to the decision and your thoughts on whether that constitutional amendment was a mistake or not. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Tuesday, June the 3rd. It's now 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. We are talking with Julaine Appling during this hour. She is CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions about this legal challenge to Wisconsin's ban on gay marriage that was dismissed on Friday by a Dane County judge. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. The person bringing the suit, Bill McConkie, says he wants to appeal. He challenged the ban, Julaine Appling, at first based on civil rights and saying that this violated the Equal Protection Clause in the Constitution. But it was determined earlier in the court proceedings that he was without standing because his civil rights were not violated, that he's a married straight man, he has a gay daughter, but he couldn't claim he was damaged by the ban based on that argument. But he could bring the suit as a voter and say that he was forced to vote on two questions, banning gay marriage and civil unions. But what if someone with standing, gay couples, for example, challenged the constitutionality of the amendment?
Well, I'm not an attorney, so I can't address that directly, and I'm certainly not a judge. But as I said, people have a right to sue in this country and to bring lawsuits, and so I don't know what would happen. I know that I'm trying to think if there's. I don't think so. I think there's never been a substantive challenge to one of these amendments around the country, and that is the precedent we have to look to. Obviously McConkie did not have standing, and the judge saw that appropriately this past fall when he brought that challenge, and as you said, left the door open for this type of procedural challenge. So I guess we'd have to see what would happen if somebody did that.
Yeah. I know you're not a lawyer, but you watch these things closely. How is what happened in Wisconsin different or the same as to what happened in California recently? Yeah.
Well, and that's a good point, Joy, because this has really gotten confusing for people. Proposition 22 that the California voters put into place back in 2000 is not an amendment to their state constitution. California enjoys an opportunity for the people of that state to do a kind of a referendum that results in something that's like a statute or a regular state law. And that's what Proposition 22 did. And when they voted on, I think it was 61, almost 62% of the people passed that in 2000, it said that marriage will be between a man and a woman in that state. In the meantime, between then and 2008, the state legislature recognized domestic partnerships that are basically marriage and everything except name. And the court ruling out there a couple weeks ago said, if you have a relationship that is the same as marriage, according to that state's constitution and their equal protection clause, then you have to recognize it not just in wording, but you have to give it the same name. Now, here in Wisconsin, we have an amendment in place that is not challengeable on the same basis that a state statute would be challengeable.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've gotten a lot of calls over this, particular issue in the last couple of weeks. And that's really the important distinction. And by the way, the people of California are right now getting their names validated and qualified to get on the ballot this November for a constitutional amendment that should remedy that problem.
To the phones we go. Lynn in Milwaukee joins us first. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Lynn.
I guess from my perspective, while the decision may be the appropriate one based on the facts of the law, I guess it's the sort of the self-righteousness and the approach and the lack of recognition of that there are other definitions, maybe not legal ones, but ethical ones and human ones, humane ones of family. And what do we do as a society to recognize that? And again, I understand we really have to make the decision based upon the law, and I respect the decision from that perspective. But what can be done? What more can be done? I'm just concerned that it's a political decision. It's a decision made not to allow benefits, etc., for those non-traditional families that provide love and support and children. I'm a married woman, heterosexual, but I do respect the decisions and lifestyles of others. Yeah. My comment.
All right, thanks for the comment, Julianne Appling. It's not respectful.
Well, first of all, I think that everybody understands that people have a right in this country to be in relationships of their choosing. The question has always been, what is the appropriate action for the government, for the state, if you will, as it relates to recognizing those relationships and giving them, quote, benefits that have been traditionally restricted to people in heterosexual marriages. And we would say that agree that people have the right to be in those relationships, but what is not right is for the state to begin recognizing those relationships and giving those relationships the same standard, the same recognition and benefits that we have reserved for marriage. And the reason for that is that marriage is unique. Marriage provides, marriage between a man and a woman provides society benefits that are unique to that institution. And so we have appropriately limited that. Now, the truth is, benefits, and many companies do this too, by the way. You can give benefits to people in ways that do not approximate marriage. For instance, an employee plus one is a very typical insurance option for companies. If the state legislature determined that it wanted to discuss that, it would be a suitable topic for the state legislature to take up. Employee plus one means that the employee gets covered and then someone of the employee's choosing can be covered under that insurance plan. You don't have to put these relationships that are something other than a man and a woman who are in a married relationship on the same plane and give them the same recognition in order to get benefits. The other thing is there are lots of legal ways to go and take care of wills and trusts and hospital visitations and all of these types of things and providing for the future of should there be children involved, if providing for the future of those children or that child. So what we don't want to do is to begin creating look-alike marriages and marriages by another name to give these relationships. And nobody's saying they're not loving and they're not, there's not commitment there, but they are not the unique institution of marriage, and we want to be careful about making them that.
Thanks to Lynn. Krista in Milwaukee is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning. When I've heard about this in the news for so long, it reminds me of the old bans on interracial marriage. I wonder if you could comment on that. And also, kind of a secondary opinion, I think everyone should be treated equally. If you're not going to let some people have the name of marriage, but you're going to give them, equal health benefits or whatever, equal visitation benefits in the hospital, things like that, then everybody should be treated equally. Everybody should have to go to a lawyer and draw up a will and say, yes, I want this person to be able to make medical decisions for me. You know, the way gay couples have to now, everybody should have to do that.
Julaine Applin?
Well, first of all, this interracial marriage argument has been brought up since these amendments and since the Defense of Marriage Act language was introduced back in the late 90s at the federal level. This is not at all the same. You know, with the interracial marriage situation, what you had was an effort to keep the races separate. That's not good. We, as a society, as a nation, we blew that. We, you know, those kinds of laws were absolutely wrong, and we took steps to correct that. Marriage is about bringing the sexes together. It's not about separating anything. It's about bringing these unique individuals, male and female, together into a union that is beneficial to them individually, to the children who come into that union, as well as to society at large. You know, marriage is just filled with good things that it gives in heterosexual marriage, that it gives to the people involved and society in general. It is totally unlike the interracial argument. And, you know, for whatever reason, that never gets successfully put to sleep and put to bed here.
Yeah.
On the question of everyone should be treated equally, you know, it's true. We're all equal under the law. We absolutely are. And the way for people to be able to get the benefits of marriage is to enter a legal marriage. In this state, the legal marriage is entered into by virtue of being a man and a woman, being at least 18 years of age, not being already married, and not marrying anyone closer than a second cousin.
Yeah.
That's how we all become treated equal under the law, is that we comply with the law.
Why would recognizing a civil union threaten the institution of marriage, though?
Well, it's because when you, Joy, when you start taking these relationships that are become look-alike marriages and are just called something different, you basically have marriage by another name. You have essentially redefined marriage. If you make it just like marriage and you just call it something different, there's not even a half a cent's worth of difference between the two. And at that point, you have opened the door for marriage to mean anything and at the same time mean precisely nothing. Because it now means nothing, or it means everything and can mean anything, it then loses its unique place in society. There is no research that shows that marriage between two men or two women, or marriage in any kind of other configuration, brings to society the same kind of benefits that, or to the individuals involved, the same kind of benefits that marriage between a man and a woman brings to those people and their children and society in general. And I don't believe there will be research that shows that conclusively, but we have thousands of research reports that show us conclusively what the traditional marriage brings. And it's you take society down a path. Once you start playing with names and the way what we call these relationships, you take society down a path that I'm not sure we can back up if we find out, as we know we will, that there's grave difficulties with that.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Julaine Appling, who is CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council, who supports a ruling from a Dane County judge last Friday that sustains Wisconsin's ban on gay marriage. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 7:36. A Dane County judge has dismissed a challenge to Wisconsin's constitutional ban on gay marriage, but the man who brought the suit, UW Oshkosh instructor Bill McConkie, says he may appeal. McConkie is traveling out of state today, so it was difficult to have him join us for this hour, but we will invite him to talk about his plans on this issue in the near future. We are happy to have with us a guest who applauds the judge's ruling on Friday. The judge rejected the challenge that claimed the 2006 referendum that outlawed gay marriage and civil unions in Wisconsin was improperly put to voters. The judge ruled that the two propositions are two sides of the same coin. Our guest is Julaine Appling, CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council. She was involved in getting the referendum passed by about 60% of Wisconsin voters in November of 2006. Our next caller for her is Tim in Sparta. Hi, Tim. You're on the air. Tim, are you there? Tim, I don't know where you are, so let me put you on hold and go to Lloyd in Marquette. Hi, Lloyd. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Lloyd. Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Interesting discussion this morning. Since I'm from Michigan, I'm not so aware of the laws in Wisconsin. Does Wisconsin allow for a common law marriage without religious marriage?
Julaine?
Actually, we do not have a common law marriage availability here in Wisconsin.
Is there any cohabitation status that Wisconsin allows?
From our perspective, it's unfortunate, but cohabitation is legal. People have a right to do that.
And does that carry any of the legal benefits that marriage would carry?
No, it does not. That in fact, that would. Let me back up on that. If a company has said, you know, we have employee plus one insurance, or they live in an entity that currently allows domestic partnerships and they have that kind of arrangement, then they have those benefits. But there are no benefits that are available to people cohabiting from the state.
Yeah. An email from Lars in Green Bay. The guest mentioned something about history, but the concept of marriage has, throughout history, never been only a religious concept. Marriage has been many things to many people. For example, marriage for alliance. They say this about marriage, but marriage has never been one single concept.
Well, marriage has been essentially most widely practiced as a single concept of being between one man and one woman. Have there been some aberrations of that? Yes, but we do not have those societies still standing in any kind of significant way at all today, and that's because those kinds of arrangements haven't been productive and good for those societies. You know, it's interesting to me that whenever we have these conversations, Joy, somebody inevitably gets around to saying it's not religious. I've never even mentioned religion on this. Marriage is a civil institution. It is often enacted in a religious setting, that's for sure. I happen to believe that God instituted originated the institution of marriage. It's not man's creation, it's not government's creation. But we also do believe that marriage in this country and in this state is properly under the purview, if you will, of government, as far as government's job is to protect that institution, to not redefine it, recreate it, rename it, or any other of the kinds of changes that have been talked about in today's society. Government doesn't have that right. But it does have the right to give it benefits, special benefits, because of the unique place marriage holds in society. But, you know, some people choose to get married by a judge, and they never walk into a church. They don't view it as a religious union or in any way sanctioned by religion. But that marriage is still significant in society, that unique man-woman relationship, and any children that come into it, and even without children, that gives something unique to society. And so that's why we as a society have looked at marriage in a special way. And rightfully so. And that's why government benefits marriage, because marriage benefits society, and government's interested in doing things and benefiting relationships that add significantly to the way we as a people function. And so, you know, no, it's not. It has a religious component for many, many people. And by the way, it's interesting. 86% of the marriages in this state get performed in a church. So, you know, to that degree, yeah, it's very religious.
Yeah. I wanted to get your reaction, Julaine Appling, to we talked a little bit in our first half hour about the news from California. California will start issuing marriage licenses to gay couples starting on June 17th. Shortly after that news, the New York governor said that New York will begin to recognize gay marriages held in other states.
Well, you know, this is an interesting thing because, you know, New York also had, back in 2006, in the middle of our marriage amendment effort, New York handed down this ruling from their Supreme Court that said that marriage in that state was only between a man and a woman, according to their DOMA statute. And now we have the governor saying that the New York law is sufficiently broad enough to allow marriages that are enacted in another state to be legally recognized in New York. I'm not sure how those two things reconcile. Somebody's obviously going to have to do some fancy legal work there, because theoretically they shouldn't be able to under that Supreme Court ruling. So, but these are the kinds of things that people all across the country are concerned about, is when you have a state like California. By the way, there's an important distinction between Massachusetts and California, as the only two states now that have full-fledged legal marriage, same-sex marriage. And that is that Massachusetts has a restriction that you can't come to Massachusetts unless you've been a legal resident there for, I forget how many days it is, but it's quite a while, mm-hmm. and then transport your marriage to another state. California does not have that provision.
And so people from New York presumably could go to California, get married, and then go back to New York.
And the reason New York is a little vulnerable to this is New York does not have an amendment to its constitution. I think there's almost 30 states now that have amendments to the Constitution, most of them very similar to what Wisconsin has. These states are not at a high risk for this to happen because of the statute is, we don't have a statute, we have an amendment. The states that we're concerned about are states just like New York, Rhode Island, Florida, that's still working on its amendment, and other states all around the country that haven't yet had the opportunity to put an amendment in place.
Tim in Sparta is back with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's basically two comments. First is I 100% agree with the guest, and you know, if you legalize gay marriage, that's just opening up a Pandora's box in my estimation. Where are you going to draw the line for the guy that wants more than one wife, the bigamist? Or, you know, the guy that wants to marry a family relative. We have laws on the books for a reason, and I think that, the institution of marriage has sustained decades and decades and, thousands of years. And to try to change it and redefine it is just going to screw it up. And my last comment is that these people that try to push this agenda, and I have little kids, and I really worry about, the school systems and trying to indoctrinate kids in the school. But these people that preach inclusiveness or inclusion all the time, they are one of the most hateful people as far as, like, if you go onto a college campus and you have an opposing view, they throw pies in your face, they yell and scream, and they don't let you express your view.
There are people on the fringe on both sides, Tim, but I don't want to go into another area. We want to stick to this particular focus. Julaine Appling?
Well, that's Tim brings up an interesting point. I've been saying for 5 years and longer on this, when you begin to tamper with the definition of marriage and number or gender, you do open Pandora's box. And people, always say, oh, that's just ridiculous, and, those type of reactions. And yet, we're just now looking at redefining it in terms of gender. And out there, we have in the news, in mainstream media, people who are in polygamous situations saying, hey, what about us? We have loving and committed relationships. Why shouldn't we be able to have them legally recognized? And I say to those who want to redefine it in gender, that argument, and they say, well, we don't want to let that happen because we don't want it to happen. And my response to that is, there are a lot of people who don't want to have marriage redefined to accommodate your particular situation either. And it does remove that very bright line that we have drawn, that marriage is strictly between one man and one woman. And so, I would agree with the caller on that. We do have laws in the books, and right now in the state of Wisconsin, because nearly 60% of the people agreed with that, they knew what they were voting on, and the judge realized, too, that marriage has a unique and special place in society. We in this state cannot have marriage in any other configuration than one man and one woman.
We're talking about a challenge to Wisconsin's ban on gay marriage and civil unions that was dismissed on Friday by a Dane County judge. Our guest is Julaine Appling. She is CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, June the 3rd, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Legislation to fight climate change is on the floor of the U.S. Senate this week, and we will hear from two guests from different perspectives on this bill coming up in our next hour. Right now, talking with Julaine Appling, who is with the Wisconsin Family Council, talking about this recent challenge to Wisconsin's constitutional amendment that prohibits gay marriage and civil unions. 1-800-642-1234 if you want to react. In Madison, 263-1890. And Nana in Belmont is with us next. Good morning.
Yeah, it sounds like she kind of just addressed my what I was going to comment on. I believe in traditional marriage, but and why should one group of non-traditional household be favored over any other? There are other non-traditional households out there besides gay marriages.
And you would agree, Julaine Appling.
Well, yeah, this goes back to the idea that we don't believe that the government should be recognizing any kind of relationship other than one man or one woman who are in a legal marriage. I think she's referring to, well, there's all kinds of permutations you can get into that people would, you know, like to say, yeah, we want all the benefits of marriage. And our response to that is, if you want the benefits of marriage, put yourself in a situation where you comply with the law and you get married. That's how we're all equal under the law. And that's an important part that I think a lot of people miss. We are a nation of law, and when people comply with the law, they're treated equally under that law. But when you are trying to change the law, and one of the interesting things about this is that the way that groups that are bent on changing the definition of marriage try to change the law has typically been to use the courts to get the law changed. And that's one of the ironies of all of this, Joy. One of the reasons we put the marriage amendment in place was so that we didn't have a judge someday telling Wisconsin citizens what marriage would be, as you have had in California and in Massachusetts. And here we have the courts once again being used as the venue to try to get their way on redefining marriage. Now, I want to remind people that this ruling was a very narrow ruling. It was on a procedural issue, whether or not the amendment was appropriately put on the ballot as to its wording and its single purpose intent. And the judge made it clear. He said, I'm not, this ruling is not about whether or not this was, quote, I'm quoting the judge, wise public policy, quote, good for Wisconsin. He said, we're talking today about a very narrow issue here. But he did also say the two sentences were flip side of one coin, and secondly, that the single purpose was to preserve the unique and historic status of marriage. So on many levels, the judge was right on his decision and appropriately applying the law.
But some questioned the two statements being put on that referenda question, because there are polls that show people, while they might not want gay marriage in the full legal sense of it, did support civil unions. If you put those questions to people, you'll get different responses to the different questions.
Well, I hear that all the time, and I looked at all those polls and mm-hmm. a number of others probably too. And one of the things that is remarkable to me is that nearly 60%, it was 59.4% of the people who went to the polls on November 6th or 7th, 2006, got this. If they had thought, the typical way that people vote on a referenda like this is if there's any doubt in their minds, they vote no. So if people had gone and looked at that referendum and said, I don't get this, the typical reaction would be in the privacy of the voting booth to vote no. The truth is that they did get it. They understood that this was about the definition and preservation of this unique institution of marriage. And they voted yes. We had over 3 years of dialogue about this amendment in one way or another. And the people of Wisconsin, we've proven it over and over again, people of Wisconsin are not illiterate. They're not stupid. They understand these arguments. They're very bright. And they got this. It wasn't hard for them. And I quite frankly disbelieve the numbers in the pollings as to what it actually means. Had people felt that strongly about this, there's no way this amendment would have passed by nearly 60% of the voting population.
Well, while I'm talking a little bit about the polling, a new story that we had on Wisconsin Public Radio this week, it's a new analysis of public opinion polls by a UW political science professor, Charles Franklin, shows that public support for gay marriage has been increasing over the last two decades, showing that as people think about it more and more, perhaps, that they're softening to the idea.
How do you reconcile that with nearly 60% of vote just 2 years ago? Perhaps that's true. I think what you'll see is some maybe. I want to be careful how I say this, because there are a number of states that are getting ready to put initiatives on the ballot for this this November. Maybe that will be reflected in those votes. I don't know. I think that every state that is talking about this has to assume that those kinds of things are happening, because there is a very aggressive
lobbying movement.
The best word I can use is agenda to secure same-sex marriage, to secure a redefinition of marriage across this country. It's not a fabrication. It is very real. And as people talk about that more in the media, and as it's talked about more in the culture at large, many people begin to believe that whatever it is they're hearing, and they hear it a lot, it's right, without always thinking it through carefully as to what's going to happen down the road with it. So, I don't know. The first time I've heard about this new poll is from you right here.
Okay, well, so. We'll go on to an email from Scott, who says, heterosexual marriage has been proven to be less stable than same-sex marriages. Maybe he means same-sex relationships. How do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, we don't have that many so-called same-sex marriages anywhere in this country. Massachusetts, really, for having had same-sex marriage legalized since 2003, actually they could start getting married in 2004. It's been 4 years now. They don't have very many marriages, so we don't have a lot of data to look at it, nor over a long period of time. Interestingly, the very first homosexual marriage that was enacted in Massachusetts has already resulted in a divorce. So, is there a problem with heterosexual marriage? You bet there is. The institution of marriage has been under a vicious attack for decades now. Unilateral, no-fault divorce has been an insidious encroachment on this institution. It has done no one any favors. It has made the institution itself weaker. It has fractured families. It's put children in jeopardy and made it harder for them to be successful and to enjoy the benefits of a secure family relationship. And definitely heterosexual marriage has its issues. But the way to deal with that is to not jettison the institution, redefine it, reconfigure it, reshape it, remold it, whatever. It is to shore that up. It's to change our divorce laws, to make people have to kind of cool their heels, if you will, a little bit before they launch into a divorce. It's to hold people accountable, to do better premarital counseling, to put community marriage agreements in place so that communities kind of band together, and churches and judges band together and saying, we're only going to do your marriage if you agree to these particular stipulations. It's not to remake the institution, and it's not a fair comparison at all to talk about relationships or marriages of same-gendered people. For one reason, we don't have enough statistically to do that. And secondly, they're not the same as heterosexual marriage.
Adrian and Arena, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I've heard a couple of times the issue about the sanctity of marriage brought up, and I see a divorce rate that is over 50% now, and I also heard you just say that the first gay marriage has already been dissolved in divorce, but, that's one instance. And the sanctity of marriage, there really isn't one. You see people who are on their fifth and sixth and eighth marriage, and they are cheating on each other, and I don't see where you come off saying that there is a sanctity of marriage.
All right, and we have just a minute in the program, Julaine Applin.
Well, first of all, I find it unique that somebody used the term sanctity of marriage, because it wasn't me during this conversation. I do believe that there is a sanctity of marriage, and as I mentioned just earlier, because the institution has problems doesn't mean we jettison the entire institution and throw it open for redefinition and reshaping and some other kind of image. We shore it up. We do the things that we need to do as a society to encourage young people to get married and to stay with their marriages. Obviously, the divorce rate is too high. Obviously, we have too many fractured families, and we need to take care of that. But my concern would be that we restrict it to one man and one woman and start working on strengthening that institution, not enabling other people to come in and say, well, let's just throw the whole thing open and make it whatever we want it to be.
Yeah, and we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Joy.
Julaine Appling, CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council. And as I mentioned, we will sometime in the near future have the man who brought this suit challenging Wisconsin's gay marriage ban on the air, Bill McConkie. By the way, tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking with a guest from a group called Scenic Wisconsin. They're going to be meeting in the near future to talk about threats to Wisconsin's natural beauty. And we will talk about those threats coming up tomorrow between 6 and 7. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thanks as well to Cindy Schuster and Michelle Kofel for on-air production and direction. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.